Dubai Eye
103.8.
This is The Agenda.
Live at Intersec, the world's leading trade fair for security, safety and fire protection.
Yeah, you're listening to The Agenda live from Intersec 2019. More from the floor in just a few moments' time. Just a quick heads up, though, on some of the other big events to look forward to in the coming weeks. Later on this month, in fact, next week, 28th to the 31st of January, down here at Dubai World Trade Centre, once they've cleaned up after Intersec 2019 and debugged the place. Arab Health is going to be down here as the largest gathering of medical professionals in the Middle East. Over 84,000 medical professionals in attendance, over 4,000 exhibitors. Pre-registration now available online at www.arabhealthonline.com. So it's that time of year when the big shows come thick and fast throughout the next few weeks. As I said, we're going to be introducing you to some of the international guests in just a few moments' time. Not though before I've set today's competition question, because it's a pretty good competition as well. Full lineup of the 17th edition of the Emirates Airline Dubai Jazz Festival, presented by MasterCard Jazz Fest, has been revealed now. Snow Patrol, Jamiroquai, Alicia Keys will headline from the 20th to the 22nd, respectively, down at Dubai Media City Amphitheatre. This is next month in February. Individual day tickets and three-day festival pass tickets now available at DubaiJazzFest.com. You can also get your hands on them at Virgin Megastores across the UAE. Today, we would like to give one lucky listener a pair of tickets to go and see Snow Patrol on Wednesday, the 20th of February. So, if you would like to wing that pair of tickets, tell me this. One of Snow Patrol's best-known songs and biggest-selling songs is, of course, Chasing Cars by the band. It was released as the second single from their fourth studio album, Eyes Open, back in 2006. It was recorded in 2005. The song gained significant popularity in the US and worldwide after being featured in a second season finale of which popular US medical drama? Which popular TV show in the US featured Chasing Cars in its season-ending finale for season two, and since then has had a recurring relationship with the show? If you know the answer, text it please to 4001 along with your name and you could be a winner. Time now to get more from Intersec 2019. Emma Brain, my colleague down here, has guests.
I have, and we welcome onto the Dubai Eye sofa Jason Lin, who is General Manager of Ultratech. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good morning, Emma. How are you? I'm very well.
Very good, thank you. So tell me what you guys are doing here. You specialize in protective clothing. You're keeping people on the front line of their jobs safe. So what are the sorts of things that you deal with?
Our main job, main products, is for the body protection. But on top of that, we want to keep the workers go home safely and come back to work the next day. Mm-hmm. So we provide a solution for any liquid and hazards. For those frontline workers, they can work on their daily job and they can come home safely, come back to work the next day. That's what we're doing today.
And a lot of your, you're obviously, the oil industry is probably a big part of your sector, but obviously a lot of the clothing needs to be dustproof and that. So how is it different, the materials and everything, depending the kind of material that you're dealing with?
Well, basically, we also have the facility to develop all the R&D for the fabric technology, and mm-hmm. also it's also important to join the seam, to assemble the garment from the fabric to garments. The fabric itself needs to be protection enough, but meanwhile to keep workers' comfort. Mm-hmm. In that case, people wearing our garment will not slow them down. They can keep their efficiency. So our fabric technology is to make the fabric protective enough for those hazards, no matter it's in liquid or particle or even the virus, mm-hmm. to keep them safe. And while not slow them down so they can move in their job, and even when they're doing their work, their core temperature will increase. In the Middle East, in Dubai, the temperature can be hot, something like 40 degrees above in the summertime. So we developed a garment to make the people here in these regions, they can protect themselves, go home easily, and meanwhile keep their efficient on their job.
Because I'm just reading through the bio for your company and what you do, and you guys have been involved in a lot of cleanups and a lot of charity work. So oil spill cleanups in the Gulf of Thailand. You've been involved in avian flu and Ebola and this kind of thing. So you're really talking about protecting people on the front line. When it comes to things like viruses, I assume we're talking about biohazard suits. How do you go about testing something like that?
Okay, there's an international standard to make sure every garment, if the manufacturer claim your garment is virus-proof or blood-proof or even any hazard-proof, in the CE regulations, there's an international standard to test all the necessary tests, including to test when you're doing the job, there's a certain motions to wear this garment, and they will test from the different hazard, like particles, like liquid spray, or even the liquid jet, to make sure the garment has been qualified or certified to meet the standards. So all our Auditech range of products meets all the necessary requirements, even exceed the top level of the requirement, mm-hmm. to make sure the workers can work very safe and they can go home, kiss their daughters, kiss their sons, and come back to work the next day. That's our mission, to keep all the frontline workers go home safely and come back to work the next day.
Jason, just got a quick question as well, because obviously one of the demands is, as you're saying there, safety at all costs, and being able to perform at the highest, or acting without fear, as the company talks about there, that ultimate protection you try and bring. Is some of the demands as well from your clients to ensure that the workers have the flexibility to do their job as well? So do you have to balance either the safety of the individual, but the practicality of the garments and the uniform in order to be able to perform that task?
Yes, exactly. People want safe, but they don't want coverall. Yeah. It's not comfortable at all. But the coverall is the only way so far if there's nothing they can avoid to do the job, like Ebola happened. If you don't get into the Africa or get into the village with the Ebola case, you will not get infection. Yeah. However, for the medical workers, for the doctors, they cannot avoid the job, the task. That's why at that time, WHO is the first time they issued a specification for the protective clothing to make sure the medical workers can have the proper protection. Not someone, you have variety choice of the white clothes, yeah. We call it disposable coveralls. But not only for the hardware, it's also important if you want to go home safely, not only to choose the right products, right coverall, but also you need to follow the right step, donning and doffing, to make sure when you take off the clothes, you're not cross contamination or infection when you're taking off your clothes. So we also provide a training, not only give you the products, but also taking the education to make sure everybody, every users, they choose the right products and follow the right step, donning to doffing, and they don't get any cross-contamination, so they can go home safely. That's the complete solution, not only a garments itself.
And how are you finding here at Intersect? I mean, you guys have come in from Taiwan, and you've been here for 8 years, you were telling me. How do you find Intersect as a platform for sharing ideas and technologies and sharing your expertise with other companies?
Intersect, to me, is the biggest safety show in the Gulf countries. For me, I'm a Taiwanese, but I have been in Dubai for 15 times. I like this area. In the past 10 years, I have been here for 15 times, and I've seen everything grows, and economy here is growing, and people changing, come walking, and maybe go after a few years. It's energetic areas. We bring our garments here because we focus on Asian countries. And all our garments, Auditech Protect Clothing, we focus on, one of the advantages of our garments is we focus on Asian fit. We're not an American brand, we're not a European brand, but we understand the body shape, the ergonomic design is to fit the Asian people. And we know that in this area, can be very hot. Mm. So when we design the garments, we make sure the workers fit well on their Asian bodies, and we have a lot of workers from India, from Pakistan, and Asian countries in these areas. And that's why our garments is to design for this area peoples, and also the comfort, breathability for the garments to make sure they get well protection and meanwhile still have the good comfort to move.
Fantastic. Well, we've just about run out of time. But Jason Lin, manager of Ultratech, thank you so much for joining us this morning and telling us about it. And I hope you have a wonderful time at Intersect while you're here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Emma and Tom.
Indeed. Jason, bless you. Thanks so much indeed to you.
Social and join the conversation.
Find Dubai Eye 103.8 on Facebook and Instagram.
Joining us here is Abe Bhargava. He is Director and Regional Head of Industrial Practice, Middle East and Africa at Frost & Sullivan. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Emma. All well.
All
thank
good.
You.
And you are moderating panels here. You're going to dash off very, very shortly to do one. What's the panel that you're moderating today, this morning?
Well, the panel is quite interesting. It's focusing on the themes of safety and security around smart cities. And it's really relevant from Dubai's point of view, looking at Dubai 2021, which is looking at taking Dubai down a complete smart city digital transformation roadmap.
Exactly, because we've said that Dubai wants to be the smartest city in the world, and
yes,
there's been benchmarks set for that. We've covered it a lot. So what specifically are the kind of things you're going to be talking about this morning?
I'm expecting the focus of the panel to be around what components are we going to have in a smart city that Dubai is going to become, and then focus really on the safety implications and the security implications that come from it, because you're going to have Dubai completely transformed into a city that has a lot of data moving along. Everyone's going to be connected. You know, people are going to be on citywide Wi-Fi networks. Your health records are all enabled. You know, you got drones moving around. You got the airport enabled. You got all the critical national infrastructure up on the digital framework. Now, when all that happens, you know, big data, as everyone keeps talking about, takes on a different meaning, takes on a more graver perspective from security point of view. And we're going to be looking at how, you know, foresight, how planning, how regulation and technology can address these challenges that are going to come up when Dubai goes on its roadmap.
Because obviously as tech gets smarter,
yeah,
and all the things like that, then the people that want to disrupt that tech
absolutely
get smarter. So
yeah,
how do we put in place the safety regards to, yeah, to stop that, the safety
well,
guards to stop it?
It's interesting. It's already happening. We at Frost landed up looking at the, you know, the critical national infrastructure safety market globally, and it's already at about $60 billion. That's equal into some of the other conventional security markets, and they took years in the making. So I think there's already a lot of technology available. Yeah. There's already a lot of planning that's happened. A lot of esteemed organizations worldwide, including governments, are researching on how to make this more secure. Well, I think it's going to boil down to two or three things: more collaboration, more foresight, and more impact assessment. And we already got these three recipes working, you know, with the OSCIM, let's say the OSCIM body that Dubai has already set up. So I think it looks like Dubai's got its act together from a future perspective,
yeah,
saying, you know what, we know the impact of what we're doing. So let's make sure we protect it as much as we can.
And as we move forward, of course, AI comes into it,
yeah,
an awful lot. There's a lot being used at the
right
moment. And there's always this discussion as we move forward and we get more technologically advanced and there's more artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Do we get worried about taking the human element out of things at all?
Good question. And a lot of people have been worried about it. But here's what we see again. You know, we're seeing an interesting flow where you know, people were worried about AI earlier. Now they're saying, you know, we need to start taking a look at a framework of systems which includes human interaction. And believe it or not, it's the human interaction that's causing people to be more concerned, because that brings the non-predictability in the whole technology platform. So people are you know, we we don't see a case where humans are going to get isolated in the whole technology game. You know, you got books coming out, including, you know, if you read Origin, it talks about AI taking over everything. But that's not what we see happening here. I think it's more about how you're going to integrate human interaction mm-hmm. with technology, with augmented reality, and bring it all together.
Is one of the challenges that we're facing at the moment, Abe, the fact that as much as of good work is being done to try and combat those that are looking to disrupt systems yeah. or those that are taking on cybersecurity or trying to take on the cybersecurity right. Purveyors out there, that the technology is moving so quickly yep. at the moment that you've almost got to think ahead of yeah. the cyber criminals.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's good that you mentioned that. That's really pertinent because one of the biggest risks you know, that have been identified by governments globally is that in a need to accelerate the security implementation, okay, and also to make turnaround faster for systems, there is a very high chance that you will compromise the security aspect. Yeah. And that is one of the biggest challenges the whole industry here is struggling with. And we can expect to see developments around that. And I doubt we're going to see any of that being talked about in the stalls here or in all the buzz here. But there's a lot happening at the background around this area.
Yeah. It's just interesting. I was doing an event over the weekend with one of the banks here, and they admitted that they are now employing ethical hackers. So yep. they're employing hackers to stay yep. one step ahead of the hackers yeah. who are trying to hack the systems.
So you got to stay ahead of them, so bring them in and let them tell you where you're at vulnerability. Yeah.
The other question I had for you as well is given the demands and sort of the timeframes of all things smart here mm-hmm. In the region, is one of the roles of those that are trying to, because what we see now is people want results tomorrow.
Right.
They want results yesterday.
Right.
They want that they see things moving quickly. Is part of the role to sort of educate people that, mm-hmm. yeah, if you want to have that those things implemented as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. we have to put the infrastructure into the security to make sure right. that we're not undermining ourselves?
Well, I think that awareness, you know, if I was to break your question into two parts, is there a need to try and bring awareness into the minds of a regular end user on how technology is going to impact them? Yes, because yeah. we got people worried about where that data is going to get used, etc. The other part is awareness on the part of the people who are responsible for regulating and implementing it. That's already way well in place. But I think the bigger part over there would be that is there enough technology, you know, vendors who are going and illustrating their concepts to these regulators? No. I think that still needs to be improved further.
Fascinating times and fascinating discussions as well. Obviously, it's discussions you're going to be having with a number of panelists here yep. at Intersect 2019. And, I mean, just to that end, and I mentioned earlier that we've got so many international guests that have flown in. We know that what you're discussing is very pertinent to
sure.
the region at the moment.
Sure.
Are these conversations being had all over the world at the moment?
They are. So you've had, you know, you brought up the topic of how you got hacking and you got, you know, malware and ransomware attacks happening. Now, I think just last year there were almost 200,000 such attacks on national infrastructure globally. So we got countries across the world that are really trying hard to look at where you know, things can go wrong and try and protect themselves. Because, you know, it's fine if you're an enterprise. Well, it's not that fine, but it's fine if you were an enterprise and your servers went down and you can't send mails out. But imagine when your entire power grid and your water infrastructure is connected and the traffic signals, you know, and then suddenly that gets hacked into. That's doomsday, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think governments are cognizant of the fact, and they're doing a lot around the standardization and around regulations to improve that.
All the best with the panels. I know that you've got to shoot off now as well. Get into the green room, get in the zone as well. Make sure you're in that moment as well.
What,
just for those that are coming down, if people want to come to the sessions themselves, you're doing a couple of sessions over the next few days?
Yes, we are. We're going to be here over the next few days moderating a few things.
Abe Bhargava, the Director of Industrial Patris MEA for Frost & Sullivan. We can't thank you enough. Thanks so much indeed for your time and your information.
Thank you as well for this opportunity.
This is The Agenda.
Live at Intersec, the world's leading trade fair for security, safety and fire protection.
We're live down here at Dubai World Trade Center, live from Intersect 2019. First of several shows and updates here on Dubai I-103.8 from the show itself. Do keep your thoughts coming in, 4001 if you are using the text message, or equally have your say online as well. We've been privileged to be joined by several high-profile guests who've made it down here today, one of Intersect 2019. It's absolutely a pleasure to be welcomed by another an individual who will be very much in demand for his thoughts and his opinions. So it's great to get him here on the show on the first morning of Intersect 2019. He's the head of building technologies at Siemens Middle East. And Siemens, now the official digitalization partner for Dubai Expo 2020, and of course an exhibitor down here at Intersect. Marcus Stroheimer is with us here. Marcus, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Busy couple of days for you?
Extremely, but everything went well so far.
All good so far, which is great to hear. Listen, we know that security, we know safety, we know digitization, they're going to be subjects that are being had round the floors down here at Intersect 2019 this year. Talk to us about the emphasis on energy efficiency, because those seem to be two words that I'm hearing a lot this year.
Thank you, Tom. As you know, I mean, Siemens is active in electrification, automation, and digitalization. Yeah. And ultimately, coming into smart buildings and smart cities, what's the outcome and what's the reason? The reason is underlined by a business case, and the business case is energy optimization of buildings, making the whole city more sustainable. And how do you get to that? I mean, all the buildings that we have are contributing data. The data needs to be collected and analyzed. If we are very honest, today we have a literate building and a literate city. We have it, but you just don't look at it. We don't mill it. And the purpose of a smart city and energy sustainability is to collect this data, to actually also analyze it, and to derive value. And the value is maybe 20 to 30% less electricity and water consumption.
I mentioned earlier your relationship with Expo 2020. Again, very much in the news at the moment. I think we're almost a calendar year away from the start of Expo 2020 now. Is that going to be an ideal platform for you and all the other partners that come on board to show just what is possible, not just what is currently possible, but what could be possible for the future?
Exactly, absolutely. So Expo 2020 is our chance to really build the city of the future, to have the most sustainable and the most connected expo ever. So what we are doing there, we have deployed platforms and we are in process of rolling it out that are connecting to all buildings in terms of safety, security, and also comfort. So this all gets back to kind of a expo brain, and we are able to manage the whole city from all these aspects out of the control rooms, and making it energy efficient, at the same time making it safe for you, making it secure, but making you as a visitor also comfortable. So all this data, you need to imagine this is a large data, it's bulk data, which usually doesn't get really milled, but in the case of Expo, all the systems we deploy are connected to the operating system of the Internet of Things, in our case to MindSphere, and through this IoT platform and the artificial intelligent algorithms that are behind and running it, we can get so much more useful cases out and run apps on top of or with that data that would ultimately make and give you a user experience you have never before had. So you arrive, you know, number plate recognition, things will just get seamless and easy, or visitor registration will be very simple. You don't need to fill out forms. There will be processes and apps that make it just seamless for you to enter, get around. And the system is highly, I would say, invisible. It needs to see and think and act before you actually realize that your comfort is compromised, that your safety or security is compromised. So if you ask me, what do I see? It's in the background, right? It's behind the curtain, but we just need to make sure that you float, you are on your cloud, you go through that, and that will be the first ever and the biggest installation in the world.
That sounds absolutely amazing and very, very complex as well. It's like, as you say, a lot happens behind the scenes, but it has to be seamless on the front end. Are you using Expo as kind of a way to then launch this into bigger things in the future?
You're absolutely right. I mean, Expo is a showcase. It is something where we develop the blueprint of how a smart city should look and what features does it have to have. And I mean, making it understandable for the general audience, you want to have no congestions. You want to easy find your parking. You want to enter the event seamlessly and easy without getting held up in queues. And things need to just be more comfortable for you as a visitor. At the same time, what you don't see is that everywhere stuff is or deployable assets are standby to be at any spot in Expo, wherever some help or some system needs to be looked after. So there's a lot of visible but also tangible things. The tangible ones are simply that you float through the event in a never seen before ease.
So when you, I just want to ask off the back of that, so when you obviously you gather all the data that's coming back and it's coming back all the time and quickly, how quickly are you able to alter something if there's a problem to fix it?
I mean, we are real-time connected, so there is no elaborate time that is needed to act. This is all real-time and immediately. So even if cooling systems fail or fire alarm system maybe has an error, it will be immediately attended. And the deployable resources are all over the compound, and they are constantly in connection with the command and control center, which, by the way, is the world's largest deployment of Siemens Building Technology surveillance platform ever. And, I mean, the whole system is designed to give you extreme high comfort and ease. So if you talk about sustainability and energy efficiency, we are also capable to monitor the 137 buildings that are connected at any time about its consumption. And we can detect if a door hasn't been closed, if the AC is just blowing out cold air into the free. And these things will immediately be attended. We are benchmarking day by day. We are improving. We are learning. And behind this, what I mentioned before, is the operating system of the Internet of Things, which we call MindSphere. And MindSphere is learning and making the next day better than the day before. So we are connecting different domains. We are connecting, for example, weather data. We are connecting people flow. We are connecting the transport system to know how many people at which time are to be expected and how many systems need to welcome and how many attendants need to be there to pass these people through the event. So there is a predictive part in this technology. It's not only reactive, but we are also taking the data and looking forward. How can we learn from yesterday to enhance tomorrow? That is a part of artificial intelligence and apps that are making every day a better day than the day before.
And to that end, and to the future, if you like, I mean, you look at statistics, more and more people moving to cities at the moment, more and more people are spending more time in buildings within cities at the moment. Is there an element of education as well in this process? Because are we people that take for granted that air conditioning is going to be on in a building when we get to it? And do we really appreciate the energy consumption of a building? And therefore, is there a role that Siemens play in the sort of education of people of just how much buildings can consume when it comes to energy?
Thank you for that question. Yes, I firmly believe we can't teach people to understand technology. Technology needs to understand people. Okay. It needs to be ever easier to work with the systems, and I imagine that very soon you will be able to see on your smartphone what's your consumption, your daily consumption of your apartment. That's what you want to have. You don't want to difficult log on and retrieve data. This should naturally come to you, and you can then act and detect that you forgot something open or let your water flow on in the bathroom or something. So these systems are available. It is just a matter of applying them. And then not only in your unit or in your apartment, it needs to be the whole building. And if it is a commercial building, it needs to be every outlet, every food stall, every company that's in there need to be connected, because as a whole, we need to improve and predict and make it better tomorrow. So these systems are now being rolled out, but we need to do it like in Expo 2020 at the nucleus, at an example, at a role model. And again, the outcome should be that people feel safe, secure, and comfortable. At the same time, we want to have a sustainable environment and Expo an ever lower energy consuming unit.
Markus Strohmeier, thank you so much for joining us here this morning. You are the head of building technologies at Siemens Middle East, and it's been a pleasure to chat to you.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
Thank you. Looking forward to living in the future of the city of the future. Yeah. Thank
the
you.
The future is bright and efficient. A big thanks to Markus there for joining us. Thanks very much indeed to all the team at Siemens for making that one happen.
This is The Agenda.
Live at Intersec, the world's leading trade fair for security, safety and fire protection.
Emma Brain has more guests for us in the third and final hour.
Yes, we do. Welcoming from Dahua Technology Middle East, we've got Shin Chen, who is General Manager of the firm. Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine.
Fantastic. Now tell us, what are you currently working on across the Middle East? What is it that you guys do?
Actually, now we are working the whole region, the Middle East and the North Africa, as a security solution provider. Actually, we positioned our company, Dahua Technology, as a video-centric smart IoT solution provider and a service provider. So we work in this region for a lot of security projects, and also we work for the physics securities.
So we were speaking previously about how these kind of technologies are hubs, and it's controlling all different things and collecting data. How is this going into the future? How is it going with you guys right now?
Actually, you know, now everyone is talking about the IoT, okay? Internet of Things. We think that the camera itself is one of the sensors of the IoT, because of the IoT it consists by a lot of different sensors. Mm-hmm. So with this kind of sensors, of course, the system itself will collect a lot of data. But don't worry about the privacy. We will put this data in each country. We will not transfer this data to any other countries, because when we have business in each countries, we will follow the 100%. We will follow the laws in that country. So we will keep the data in specified country, and also the government rules. All of this we will follow.
And what sort of projects have you been working on here in the UAE? What can you tell us about?
Actually, we worked in UAE a lot of projects, like the mobile solutions, security mobile solutions for the school buses, and also the other projects with the government entities, and also for the commercial entities. We have a lot of projects finished and also ongoing.
Okay, and so when it comes to the technology, how has the technology advanced in recent years? How good is it now?
Maybe Mr. Nash can give a better introduction about this.
I would like to say there's five technology we are taking it as a big evolution for Smart Cities 3.0 stage. That is, the first one is AI, artificial. Second is IoT, and the big data, and the cloud computing. And that's one is the 5G. And those technology that we also have very good research and resources for this, for intelligence instance, we will have a face recognition system for catching the criminal in the cities, and for the cloud computing system, we can calculate the wanted person from the 10 million state leap database within 1 second. And like some IoT technology, we can provide like MAC address calculate, RFID calculate, MSID calculate, and also our strong one, the video sensory technology, the sensing. Yeah, we have a lot.
Because that's something we haven't really spoken about before. We've talked about facial recognition for security, securing our phones and all this kind of thing. But facial recognition for capturing people who've done something wrong. How advanced is that at the moment? How is that working to keep cities safe?
The first step, we were putting the videos cameras on three different light of the city, and if there's some dangerous person or high risk person who has been found compelling with the blacklist, it were alarm and pop out to the control center. Mm-hmm. And the policemen were telling about those guys and to take the action. And this is just one part of the application. Actually, we can do more, like we can give the points for the person, like if some person always drinking or drinking and driving, so those guys were have a dangerous for the society. So sure. So we can do something like this.
And this is all real time technology. It happens in real time.
Yes, real time, collecting all the data to create the values. Yeah.
And so, where is all the data stored, and what are the risks of people going in and taking this data? We've mentioned privacy before, so how do you go about securing these systems?
Our system is fully Linux-based. Okay, Linux embedded, and this system itself is much safer than the normally we use, which is Windows system. Okay, and then normally this kind of facial recognition based system is equipped by the government entities. Mm-hmm. They will have their standard for the data storage and the privacy. So we were associated with the government entities to keep the privacy of each people in specified region.
Okay, and just quickly, finally, what are your plans to expand in the UAE and the region? What more are you doing here?
Yeah. We do have the expansion plan in the region. And we will keep investing in the artificial intelligence and the safe city. And this afternoon, we are going to release our new concept for the safe city solution, which is HOC. And you guys are welcome to join us at the Align Hall in the ground floor. Okay, and also we will invest in more in the region for the project's requirement. And this is also going to realize our mission to in the region, which is enabling a safety society and a smart living.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon for a little chat. We're running out of time, unfortunately. That is General Manager of Dahua Technology Middle East, Mr. Shinchen, and your colleague. Thank you so much for coming chat to us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy the show.
You.
Our thanks to the team there.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.